On BYUSN, today is a day of celebration. Why? Well, because Richie Saunders announced last night that he is returning to BYU. We'll discuss what this move means for Kevin Young and BYU basketball. Plus, with both the Broncos and the Vikings taking quarterbacks in the first round of last night's NFL draft, how does that impact Zach Wilson and Jaren Hall's futures? Dennis Pitta will join us to break down BYU's NFL draft hopefuls, and he'll tell us how many Cougars he expects to be drafted this weekend. And we'll discuss what BYU football signing a quarterback from the transfer portal tells us about the current state of that position. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Today is Friday, April 26th. My name is Jason Shepherd. Spencer Linton will join me shortly. But as I mentioned, a day of celebration to say the very least. I think it was Monday when Spencer and I were doing this show and we were talking about, you know, how we're feeling and about the transfer portal and the guys that were in it, Dallin Hall and Richie Saunders. And I know, speaking for myself, I said, look, I'm reading the tea leaves here and things do not look good at all. Right now, I'm not feeling good that Richie comes back, and I'm not feeling good that Dallin Hall comes back. And boy, what a difference a couple of days makes. Last night, we got the official word from Richie Saunders that he is back. In fact, to quote the social media post, I'm in. And what an unbelievable turn of events based off of the way all of the emotions were going. You know, we saw the picture of him at the airport in Lexington with his wife and with Coach Pope and Leanne. They were talking about, it looked like things were trending that direction. But we got to give a shout out to Sporty McSports, who put this out last night. Well done on the Photoshop. And I think the fact that the Photoshop is horrible makes it even better, where you've got now Kevin Young and Cosmo meeting Richie and his wife at the airport, and Spencer Linton is joining me now.
Listen, I think we need to synchronize headbands now.
Richie is officially back.
Let's do this.
All right, headbands applied.
Okay.
We're good to go.
All right.
Richie Saunders, welcome back to BYU.
What? Honestly, we did not think things were not trending this direction.
Well, when 24/7 Sports puts out their crystal ball projections and it says 100% Kentucky, hard not to buy into that. I've been in contact with some people in the Royal Blue Collective who said, hey, it's not over yet. We're working with them. We're working on a deal. We're trying to get Richie back. So don't, you know, the fat lady hasn't sung just yet. But it kind of felt like we were pushing in that direction. You know, I had somebody ask me just last night, or what are the chances that Richie actually comes back? And I said, it's going to take something special. And so I don't know what Kevin Young said. I don't know what the Royal Blue Collective did. But whatever it is, combined, it definitely hit the special terms and really resonated with Richie, because he flips from, I mean, those crystal ball projections are not, of course, 100%
accurate. It's not gospel.
But they're pretty close to on point. And so whatever was said, it worked. He's back. And I could not be more stoked.
Look, as crazy as it sounds, I agree with you. You know, it just didn't, you felt like it was going down the road that he was going to Kentucky. But what was interesting was we had all that stuff come out Sunday night into Monday. You know, we showed the picture at the airport, but then nothing. Then a couple of days go by, you kind of felt like, well, if he's going to go to Kentucky, why hasn't he gone to Kentucky yet? And so the more days passed, I thought, well, maybe there's a chance. But then I kept talking myself out of it, because I'm like, no. Like, this just feels like he's going to Kentucky. And then you had the Louisville Courier-Journal that put out the oops post and then immediately had to delete it. And then I mean, by the way, he didn't. I mean, I immediately hear Ron Howard's voice from Arrested Development.
Yes.
He didn't.
That's exactly what I was thinking in my head, was the Ron Howard specific narrator voice in response to that post. And, you know, listen, the Louisville Courier Journal, I know that, like, they've got sources in it. I don't blame them for thinking it was going to happen. I do blame them for maybe accidentally posting that and then pulling it down 15 or 30 minutes later, whatever it was. But it's become like the next version of Gonzaga 30-0.
I even saw Dewey defeats Truman.
Yes, like it's just become the next thing. Oh, the Photoshops are so good. Cosmo's head and Kevin Young greeting Richie Saunders at the Provo Airport, photoshopped over that picture from Lexington, is just fantastic. It has salvaged the feelings of many BYU fans for yet another week. Jason, we sat here last Friday. Remember what we asked? What's going to happen in the next 7 days?
Yeah.
A lot happened in the last 7 days. What's going to happen in the next 7 days? I said, I feel like one of the two are coming back. I was not feeling great about that last night. Thinking about it, like, oh, gosh. I said to everybody on the show last week that I thought at least one of these guys, Dallin Hall or Richie Saunders, was coming back. Richie, you came through for me, man. And one of the assistants has been named.
Yeah.
So, again, it's a very exciting time week to week. It's always unpredictable, Jason.
Well, look, and let's make no mistake. Kevin Young has a job to do with the Phoenix Suns, but what we're seeing is behind the scenes and not in front of anybody, he's getting things done. He obviously got one of the assistant coaches hired, and by all accounts, it sounds like he even told us, but it sounds like we're even further down the road on a couple of other guys that hopefully we'll know in short order, but he's got Richie to come back when it looked like he was on his way to Lexington, Kentucky. Mm. So, look, even though there's a game 3 tonight in the NBA and Kevin Young and his Suns are down 0-2, he's still working hard for BYU, and that's got to make BYU fans super pumped.
Now, typically we have like an official entry point for what's trending. We just hopped right into it today, and for good reason, because it's all related.
By the way, is your headband really tight?
It is very tight. But you know what?
Because you know what? If I pass out on the show, it's all worth it.
I don't care. You know what? Like when you wear headbands, you should like be a little flush because typically you're working out or doing something athletic. So it's totally okay. If all the blood just like kind of correlates here, we're good. We're congregates, if you will.
Yeah. By the way, I think this could be a look. This could be our thing.
Shep, do your thing, bro.
Let's go.
Let's go. We're already rising and shouting because Richie Saunders has announced that he's back. It is the topic, undoubtedly number one in what's trending. Jason, if you haven't already answered the question, which we both kind of partially have, just how surprised are you that he actually came back?
Yeah, I'm very surprised. I just had, not that I had turned the page, because like I said, the longer that it went without a commitment to Kentucky,
started to feel like, okay, maybe BYU's got a shot.
It's like, yeah, he went on the visit. He heard what he wanted to hear. You're allowed to have these visits. Why not at least go and explore? Even if it's to reaffirm that, yeah, I do want to go back. I looked and saw what's out there, and yeah, it's pretty cool, but you know what? I got something pretty great here at BYU. I'm not going to mess with that. And so look, maybe, honestly, And the only person that can answer this question is Richie. Maybe going out to Kentucky is what solidified him coming back to BYU. Maybe, you know, you never know. Sometimes we feel like you hear the grass is always greener. Sometimes when you realize that it's not, it makes you appreciate what you have even more. And so maybe this whole thing was set in motion by actually going to Lexington.
You never really know. And that's the beauty of this thing is like, because these are younger people, like Richie's still only what, 21, 22, maybe? Like this is still very much a young man, And understandably, he was upset about Mark Pope leaving. And he mentioned his initial post, like there's just so much uncertainty about everything. I had no issue with what Richie did and how he entered the portal. And I wouldn't have faulted him for going to Kentucky. Like I said it on the show earlier this week, he'll be an absolute legend at Rupp Arena in Lexington because of the way he plays and how he presents himself on the court. He's the Energizer Bunny. He'll make those hustle plays. I was dying a little bit inside thinking about BYU missing out on that next year. But again, these are young people. They see big dollar signs. They see opportunity. They see the prestige of Kentucky. Would anybody honestly have like truly faulted Richie for taking advantage of that? Maybe a few, but I think primarily BYU fans have been super sad that he left, but no fault. Yeah. Okay, kind of the same thing with Mark Pope. Like, we get it. You always wanted to go to Kentucky. But having him come back now solidifies himself in the hearts and minds of BYU fans forever. He is a legend for opting to come back to BYU and bring everything in his game. So, yes, I'm surprised. I'm surprised that of when it happened. Like, I did not anticipate it was going to happen last night. It kind of, like, for BYU fans, like, it stole the draft, right? Like, forget the NFL draft. Like, good night. Like, let's focus on Richie Saunders. So, like Richie said, he said, I'm in, Jason. It was such a welcome surprise and the hugest win of the short Kevin Young era thus far.
What does that tell you about the message that Coach Young gave to the players? The players are buying in. For you to have an opportunity to go to a blue blood program like Kentucky with your former coach and an assistant coach that you love, that is dear to you in Coach Feger, to say no to that, to come back here, it means that what Kevin Young is telling these players, they are as the Post said, all in. They are buying in, and that is thrilling.
Well, Mark Durant said something very interesting on X yesterday. He said, I hope that legacy and network and, like, the BYU community mean something, because he said, it's meant the world to me in my life.
Right.
And I thought, wow, that is a powerful message. And we've talked about it. Jonathan Taver and I talked about it on the show yesterday. And we've had several guests this week say, it's bigger than just the money. Like, think long term. Kyle Collinsworth came on the show and was very, very poignant about that. Like, hey, like, we gotta go. And Jason, why not add some more breaking news to this amazing Friday show?
Okay.
I've just learned, and it is confirmed, that Dallin Hall is Beckett, baby!
Oh, my goodness.
Dallin Hall and Richie Saunders, you thought this Friday was great. It just got that much better. Dallin Hall is running it back, according to his post, joining all in Richie Saunders. Holy cow, Jason. Throw out the NFL draft conversation that we were about to have. We'll get to that in a minute.
Two of the three that went into the portal. Now, obviously, Atiki is in there now.
Yep.
But before Atiki went in, Ali Khalifa, Richie Saunders, Dallin Hall in. We were hoping to get one of the three. Now you get both Saunders and Hall back.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I think we owe a social media post to a certain former Utah State Aggie.
I'm so thrilled. Dallin Hall. You know I've been on Team Dallin forever. I've been driving that Dallin train for a long time about him being the most critical part of this BYU basketball core. He's back. He said no to Creighton. He said no to whoever else. Virginia was in that list. Dallin Hall is back. Richie Saunders is back. Trevin Nell wasn't joking when he said he felt really good about what Kevin Young was doing as head coach. And unnamed source on the team wasn't joking when he said, I feel like we're pretty close to a full roster. You wait and see. Let's go.
This changes the outlook for next year's team immensely.
Yep.
Now, there's still work to be done in terms of bigs, but you bring in both Dallin and Richie back, you're going to get a healthy Dawson Baker.
Oh, yeah.
Your guard line right now is looking so much better based off of what we thought they were going to be dealing with over the next couple of months to try and, you know, pull people in and put people where they needed to go. This changes the outlook completely with this basketball team.
Well,
and it helps shore up what the focus is in the transfer portal. I didn't know where you were going. When said we had breaking news, I had not seen that.
Oh, yeah. Dallin Hall.
Run it back, baby. That's what the post says.
Back.
Wow.
I wonder how much.
Do we have something since we're wearing this for Richie, is there something we can wear for Dallin?
I don't know.
I mean, we're both wearing basketball, so.
It's the basketball, you know, support show. The funny thing is, a lot can happen in a week, Jason. Frankly, a lot can happen in a 24-hour period. This BYU basketball team, yes. Now the priority clearly becomes, okay, how do you help Foose in the post? If Atiki doesn't come back, and again, I heard that it's kind of a mutual parting, but if BYU needs size, now that you've got your guard line back, your point guard back, Dallin Hall, Dawson Baker. I know BYU is still shopping for some high-level players in the portal, some wing guards, yep. which they should. Holy cow, you need some bigs. But just think about it. Four-star recruit flips, an in-state kid signs on. We'll mention his name as soon as he goes official, but if you know, you know. He's in. Richie Saunders is back. Dallin Hall is back. What a week, Jason. What a week with BYU.
We had another trending topic that we were going to get to. We're going to either push it or maybe get to it another time.
We'll talk about that later.
Like this is what's trending.
Clearly.
What a complete turnaround for the way things felt at the beginning of the week. And to have Dallin come back. And look, I was over at the press conference when Kevin Young was introduced, and Dallin was there, and I tried my hardest to try and read facial expressions, or, you know, when Coach Young would say something that would get the crowd pumped, I would look over to Dallin to see if he was reacting, just to try and gauge anything, and he played it totally cool. He was not going to give anything away, so I just couldn't read it. But when you have so many schools, and you mentioned some of them, Duke, and we know what Creighton's been able to do. Creighton's a really, really good program. And they've been able to throw some money at some very good players to get them to go there. Virginia, you mentioned. It felt like Dallin was probably going to go elsewhere. I'll go back to what I said with Richie. Whatever Coach Young is telling them, whatever vision he is painting for them, they're all in. And every BYU basketball fan should be pumped beyond belief to hear that.
Jason, now it's three, maybe four scholarship positions available, not as many as six, because Dallin Hall takes one, Richie Saunders takes one, four-star in-state recruit takes one, all in the same week. You have to replace Jackson Robinson, Atiki, and Ali Khalifa, and then Spencer Johnson's is still out there technically, but like that, it's three, maybe four scholarship positions, and clearly, BYU is going to look to help out, like, the front court.
Sure.
They need size. Yes. But it's hard to focus on that right now when you think about what BYU brings back on the guard line. Like, the core is back. The core is back, Jason.
Okay, let me throw this out to you. I want to say before the show today. Before the show yesterday, what percent would you have given to both Richie and Dallin coming back? Both.
20.
Oh, you would have gone that high?
20%.
For both to come back? I would have had less than 10%.
For both to come back?
Yes, for both.
Yeah, sorry. I was thinking like one of the two. Like,
See, for Richie, I would have said 25, 30%, maybe, just because they had gone a couple of days without a commitment to Kentucky. But for both, I would have been 10%
okay,
or less. 10,
yeah, that's fair. 10% that both come back. I thought that Dallin was more like, was 50-50, and Richie was more like 10% that he would come back. But again, Kevin Young winning as BYU's head coach.
Oh my goodness.
Now the question becomes, like, are you rooting for the Suns tonight, Jason?
I'm going to let it just play out the way it's meant to play out.
Are you cheering for the Suns?
It's not hurting. It's not hurting BYU.
Clearly not.
Look, I don't care one way or the other.
For all we know, BYU's team's on their way to Phoenix to support Kevin Young in the playoffs tonight.
Here's the deal. It's clearly not hindering his ability to get things done here. So he's doing the best job he can as an associate head coach with the Suns, as they try and get back in the series against the Timberwolves, and he's clearly doing work with BYU basketball. So whatever he wants to do, Coach Young, it's working. You do whatever you want to do.
Hey, if BYU ran out of starting five tomorrow of Foos at center and Noah Waterman as the stretch four, and we saw this at times, frankly, and Richie Saunders or Trevin Nell on a wing and Dawson Baker and Dallin Hall and the other two guard positions, tell me you don't feel like BYU can once again compete, and certainly right now, even without size in the mix, I'm telling you, right now, that's a top half Big 12 team.
Yes.
Right
yes.
now.
Yes.
add size to it, and we'll see. It gets a little bit better. But, like, with everything you're bringing back and the experience and the addition of Dawson Baker and the returns, to me, now, the primary portion of your core is back. I know Ali Khalifa was like a magic glue guy. BYU can attempt to try and find somebody like that in the portal, but they still, I feel like this team is now, with Down and Richie back, they are a top half Big 12 team.
If you're outside today, today's a day you cannot trust your eyes. Your eyes may be telling you that it's cloudy with a chance of rain. Oh no, the sun is shining, the skies are blue, and Dallin and Richie are back with BYU basketball.
Oh, Jason, graduation traffic sucks so much, and I don't even care.
Yes, it does.
I do not even care right now. I'm so happy.
Oh.
Dallin Hall, you made my day.
You know what?
Made my day!
You know what? It's like we're all reliving the step back three straight away in Lawrence. Like, that's how I feel. The joy I felt watching that shot go down, I'm feeling that right now.
BYU legacy guys. That's what makes me maybe the most happy about this. Cement your legacy at BYU. And congratulations to the Royal Blue Collective for working tirelessly and raising funds and working with these players in a new age of NIL. And certainly the magic words and the power of Kevin Young coming in and doing something that felt almost impossible at times, but he did it. They did a collective effort, to say the least, to bring this core back. Now let's go get some bigs in the portal and figure it out.
Okay, are we going to keep these on for the show? I think with today's news, our plan was to take them off.
This is only good vibes. Good for vibes,
Dennis,
good luck.
For Dennis Pitta next, we were going to take them off.
No.
I think we have to keep these on the whole show.
Our question of the day is this. What does your welcome home sign say to Richie Saunders and, frankly, Dallin Hall at this point, that you would bring to the airport for them, okay? Alex Beach on X says, Richie Saunders, keeping the faith. Yes, nice. A page out of John Rothstein's book, which is an old Mark Pope adage, okay? Nicely played. Fred Barnhart on X says, our Energizer buddy is back where he belongs. Can you imagine, like, if they actually were greeted back by BYU fans at the airport, if they knew that? Like, I wouldn't doubt that some people would show up with things like this.
Oh, 100%.
All right, Jason, you got the next one from at Puka Jimmer.
Says, Lexington must have sucked.
Hashtag BYUSN on X, Facebook, and Instagram to join the conversation. What a day. What a moment for BYU basketball. It just doesn't, you don't see this happen often. When guys get in the portal, like multiple guys get in the portal. BYU had four. If you count Atiki's addition this week, Dallin, Richie, Ali Khalifa, and Atiki, like, how often do you have half of those guys come back to your program? Not in our day and age. Yeah. You don't see it.
Exactly.
But here we are.
All right. You look, and the fun continues this weekend. Join us tomorrow morning from noon to 1 Eastern for the Dallas Fan Fest at the Josie Ranch Athletic Complex in Carrollton, where Spencer and Jerem will be joined by BYU football players and coaches live on BYU TV and BYU Radio.
Up next, because Jerem is gone, we'll go ahead and make some time for Dennis Pitta. Yes, BYU may have a player drafted tonight. We think Kingsley's probably going. Where is he going and when? And what are the chances somebody else goes this weekend? Keaton Slovis get drafted? This is BYUSN.
A new era of BYU football kicks off. The sprint out to the right. Keaton throws and it's caught by Chase Roberts for the touchdown.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. What a day. BYU basketball just found out Dallin Hall has decided to return. He's departed the transfer portal, staying in Provo. Richie Saunders made the big news last night. The core of BYU's magical run last night is back. We are live in Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I'm Spencer Linton alongside Jason Shepherd. Headbands synchronized and ready to go. Joining us now, a man who's probably not wearing a headband, but he could definitely rock it. Dennis Pitta, BYU NFL tight end, a legend in Cougar Nation. Dennis, welcome back to the show. How are you feeling this morning?
Thank you guys for having me. I feel great. I do want to say those headbands are doing you guys no favors, especially on the hairline. But other than that, you guys look tremendous. It's good to not have Jeremy in studio. And I'm happy to be here. Thank you, guys.
Well, what do you look? I know you're not here to talk basketball, but I mean, just the excitement of having these guys come back. I mean, this is pretty cool because, as Spencer and I talked about, the beginning of the week, things did not feel like they were trending that direction. Just as somebody that watches, and you obviously came to a basketball game this past season, like, this is just pretty cool to have these guys saying, yes, I'm committed to come back to BYU.
No, it's awesome. And listen, I'm a big BYU basketball fan. We only made it out to one game this year, but usually we try to get to one or two games every season. I brought Joe Flacco out this year to support the Cougars when we played Kansas State. And so obviously I love watching them. It's always a lot more fun when they're a good team and when they're competing in the Big 12 like they did last year and winning a lot of games. It's awesome. And so I'm thrilled to have those guys back. Obviously, both Richie and Down are great players. And so they're going to continue to be big contributors next year. And hopefully we can continue this run in the Big 12 and continue to get better and better as a team. So, yeah, I'm excited. I mean, it's, you know, I enjoy basketball just as much as football. I probably play basketball a whole lot more than I play football these days. So I can talk basketball all day.
Right on. Okay, well, we'll call a timeout on basketball for the moment, Dennis, and bear with us as we continue with this headband effort. And maybe effort's not the right word, but we're doing it for Richie and for BYU Hoops. The NFL draft got through round one last night. Took forever. I mean, it was crazy. Six quarterbacks taken in the first 12 picks. This puts Keaton Slovis in an interesting situation because now, according to Mel Kiper, he's the third best quarterback available. And there are still six rounds of the draft ahead. Wild. I did not think we would be here, but we'll get to Kingsley in a minute because I feel like he's going to go today. But, like, the quarterback situation has become the clear storyline. Do you think Keaton Slovis is now going to be drafted because of what happened in the first round?
Yeah, I mean, before we get there, I would label it more of a headband disaster on your end than what you labeled it.
An effort?
Yes. Effort was the word I think you used. Yeah, it doesn't quite.
Didn't quite reach that. Okay, fair enough.
But it's interesting because, yeah, I mean, six quarterbacks in the first round, all of them within the top, 13 picks, I believe it was, maybe even more.
It was 12. Six in the first 12.
Yeah, top 12. So, I mean, it's crazy. And you know, that's what can happen when there's a run on a position. Everybody kind of gets slid up a little bit. And so, I mean, if you're Keaton Slovis or some of those quarterbacks that were kind of ranked below a lot of these guys, you love to see all these guys get plucked earlier and earlier and earlier, because now you're going to have quarterback needy teams later in this draft. They're going to say, well, we need somebody. We've got to fill, you know, this backup position, or we have to have a guy in the building, because our quarterback room isn't complete. And so that just moves these guys up the board, and you might have to, you know, you might have them slotted as a later round guy, but you kind of have to reach a little bit just because of a team need. And so it certainly plays in his favor. But listen, Keaton Slovis had a great pre-draft, you know, kind of last couple of months, because I was out there quite a bit. I was training a couple tight ends, getting them ready for the combine and this whole draft process. And I was out there with John Beck and Keaton Slovis and all those quarterbacks that were getting ready. And, you know, Keaton can really throw the ball. We obviously saw at the combine he can really run. That was a surprise to me. I think that the week after I saw him back out on the field, and I said, Keaton, I know on paper you ran a faster time than me, but if we lined up right now, there is no way you're beating me in a 4. I don't care what the clock said. Yes, I ran a 4.62 at the combine. You ran a 4.56 or whatever your official time was. You're not beating me. And I have a bad hip at this point, but I have too much pride to lose to a quarterback, especially one that isn't known for his running prowess. But I mean, what an unbelievable time for Keaton. And I think it opened a lot of people's eyes, and not that time's going to matter all that much for his style of play, but it opened people's eyes. Like, this guy's a lot more athletic than I think we had originally anticipated. And yeah, it was kind of a rocky year at BYU with, you know, some injuries and all the things that happened this past season for him. But he has a body of work that people can lean on and really study the tape on. And he throws the ball as well as any of these quarterbacks in the draft. And I mean, with Beck and those guys out there, they had almost all the top quarterbacks, Jaden Daniels, Penix, J.J. McCarthy, and yeah. Keaton's right up there throwing just as good of a ball, if not better, than a lot of those guys out on the field.
Interesting.
And so he's going to impress a lot of guys just in workouts, in the kind of high character person he is. I mean, there's not a better guy than Keaton Slovis. I've really got to know him over the last year or so, and he's a great guy. I think a lot of teams will be lucky to have him in the building and allow him to kind of develop, hopefully behind, you know, some savvy veterans. And who knows? I think, you know, the future might be bright for him in the NFL.
Let's keep on the quarterback conversation. And I think it goes without saying that the biggest surprise or the biggest newsmaker came out of Atlanta with pick 8 when they took Michael Penix Jr. And on the surface, Dennis, the strategy, I understand. If there's a quarterback you like and you have an opportunity to get him, as important as quarterbacks are in the league, you go get him. But Dennis, how do you do that when you just gave Kirk Cousins $180 million and $100 million of it's guaranteed? Like, how much of a disaster could that be in Atlanta?
Yeah, it's not ideal. And I think I understand the strategy, like you mentioned. I understand kind of going with the Packers model, because the Packers took a lot of heat a handful of years ago when they drafted Jordan Love, and you had Aaron Rodgers still in, you know, his relative prime, and a Super Bowl window still open for them. And they needed some more playmakers on the outside. They needed some more weapons for Aaron Rodgers. And instead they drafted a first round quarterback in Jordan Love. Now the Packers have done this time and time again, and it's worked out for them time and time again. Jordan Love seems to be a franchise quarterback now, and a guy that, you know, is going to usher in the new era of Packer football with Aaron Rodgers' departure. And so it's interesting, because I think that they saw that and they said, we're going to be smart here. And a lot of people are calling them, you know, dumb for that move. But I actually think it's a smart move. Now, it's going to ruffle some feathers, certainly in the Kirk Cousins camp. And his agent has already come out and said, we were not aware of this. We didn't know there was going to be, you know, a quarterback drafted until we were on the clock. We could have gotten a, you know, weapon for Kurt and, you know, been able to win now. But I can appreciate teams that want to build something that's lasting. And Kirk Cousins is, what, 37, 36, somewhere in that range. He has a few more years left in the NFL before, you know, he's going to be kindly ushered out of the league. But I think they're building something for the future. They have a lot of young talent still on that team in their receiving core, their tight ends. I don't hate the pick. And a lot of people are, you know, going to say, well, you know, why would you do that? You just pay this guy $180 million. I mean, that's the going rate for a quarterback. Let's be completely honest. And sure, in hindsight, could you have said, well, maybe we bring in a guy like Joe Flacco and pay him, you know, a fraction of that amount to be a bridge quarterback for this next guy? But I don't know if they knew that it would play out this way and that, you know, Penix would be available or as they did their due diligence after free agency, after signing Kirk Cousins, they said, we really like this guy. If he's available when we're picking, we're going to take him, because we're building not only for now, but also going to plan for the future. I don't know. I just don't hate it as much as I think other people do. And I can appreciate the strategy and the long-term play behind it.
Dennis Pitta is with us on BYU Sports Nation. We're talking NFL draft now. Okay, Dennis, we've discussed Keaton Slovis and the quarterback situation there. Good chance he might have his name called now because of what has transpired. And we focus primarily on the QB position because it is the headliner in the NFL. Well, earlier this week, Zach Wilson gets traded to the Denver Broncos. Peyton Manning and Mark Schlereth get in Zach Wilson's camp, and both collectively think this is going to be a good second chapter, an opportunity for Zach to go in and maybe be the starter for the Broncos and really show his skill set. Then Denver drafts Bo Nix last night. Do you expect Zach Wilson to be the starter for Denver in week one, given what Denver did in the draft last night?
Yeah, it's tough to say. I mean, with quarterbacks, it's who knows? I mean, is Bo Nix going to be ready day one? I think a lot will depend on his maturation over the next couple of months in the offseason, how quickly he's able to pick up their playbook, how how quickly he's able to adapt to the NFL game and to the speed and to the everything that you have to know at the quarterback position. You know, from all accounts, especially what you heard from Sean Payton and everybody in the Broncos camp last night, you know, Bo Nix is an incredibly smart and intelligent player, and that's one of the reasons why they loved him and decided to pick him at, was it 12? Is that where he went? 11,
he went 12? 12. Yep, he went 12.
12, yeah. But listen, I agree with Peyton Manning and Mark, a lot of the takes on Zach when the trade happened, because nobody looks at that Jets situation and says, that was a great situation for Zach. He just didn't make it happen. He had everything around him that he needed. He had all the support he needed, and it was his fault for his failures with New York. I don't think anybody that knows football is looking at that situation and saying that. I had several friends, you know, in that quarterback room. Joe Flacco was in that quarterback room for a year with Zach. I knew a lot of people in that building. They understand a lot of the dysfunction that was going on behind the scenes with that organization, with Zach in particular and the coaching staff. It was not an environment where I think Zach was going to be set up for success. And so this is a great situation for Zach to be able to get a fresh start, number one. Now, I don't think anybody's surprised that the Broncos took a first-round quarterback. I think everybody anticipated that. And so if I'm Zach, I'm focusing on me. I don't think anybody wants to rush Bo Nix onto the field either. I think that there's a lot of value, even though it's not typical nowadays to sit a first-round quarterback and be patient with a first-round quarterback. I think there's a lot of value in being able to do that. And I'll point back to the Jordan Love, you know, experiment with the Packers. And you can look at Aaron Rodgers prior to that when he was there with Brett Favre. And so I think that's what the Falcons are looking at. Well, we're going to be able to develop Penix. We're going to be able to allow him to sit and be patient with him. Well, we have Kirk Cousins now, and we're at least paying him guaranteed money over the next couple of years. And then Penix will be our future. I think if Zach can emerge as a guy, we know he's talented. If he can pick up the offense and be a stable signal caller and a game manager for them early on, I think he can play right away. And I think he can be that bridge quarterback until the Bo Nix era starts in Denver. And so I think he's in a good situation either way. I mean, he was going to a quarterback needy team. They were going to take a quarterback. I mean, that's just the reality of the situation. But he's got an opportunity to compete and try to be the guy. So I'm happy for Zach and hope that he has success there.
Well, with all these quarterbacks, Dennis, you got to have somebody that can protect him. And then that brings us to Kingsley Suamataia, the left tackle. I will be surprised if he's not taken today in round number two. Do you think today's the day for Kingsley that he finally realizes that dream of getting drafted in the NFL?
Yeah, I think so. You know, Kingsley's a great player, and I think he's highly thought of in a lot of NFL teams and organizations. And so he's a guy I would expect his name to be called. Now, you never know in the draft, especially with this three-day format. I mean, the Ravens just posted something a couple days ago about me and the draft, because when I was drafted, I was at the beginning of the fourth round, and it was the first year that we went to a three-day format. And so I had to wait three full days to hear my name called in the fourth round, whereas, you know, years prior, it was just a two-day event. And so it was you know, fun to kind of reminisce with that. But it's also tough to wait three full days. And so, you know, hopefully Kingsley gets his name called tomorrow and doesn't have to wait all the way till Saturday. But he's a great player, and I know, you know, he'll find a home somewhere, and hopefully it's in the second or third round.
Dennis, the time always goes way too fast, my friend, even if you are just, you know, just firing off bullets at us in our headbands. It's fine. We need you to join the headband disaster and bring some, I guess, an ability to actually pull it off.
Yeah,
to
pull
show,
it off,
okay?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I would be able to pull it off. I won't do it. You guys are not pulling it off. I think that's pretty clear to your audience. But time does fly. I mean, I think it's good that time's going fast. The quicker we can get those headbands off of your head, I think the better. But regardless, I can appreciate your guys' courage just to put those on and
Thank
keep
you.
Them on.
Thank you.
Regardless of what everybody's saying about you. So stay strong.
I appreciate
Thank you, Dennis.
Okay, in reality, we need to talk soon because we got to talk Keanu Hill at tight end and BYU football and the quarterback situation for the Cougs. So let's talk again soon.
All right, for sure. Thank you, guys. Appreciate the time.
It's a Pitta takeover on Friday.
Yes, it is. All right, BYU softball hosting Baylor tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern time on Big 12 Now on ESPN+. If today's game cannot be played due to weather, likely played tomorrow at noon. But right now, set to play tonight.
They got to win this game. BYU signed a quarterback in the transfer portal yesterday. What does that tell us about the state of the quarterback position at BYU? This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Richie for three, and that's good! Richie gets to the rim and scores it! Richie again, his third three! Saunders for three to answer. Yes! Richie! Who else but King Richard?
Long live King Richard! And King Dallin, for that matter. Wait. Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer. He is Jason.
He really does pull off the headband way better than us.
Well, whatever. We're just showing our support.
Yes.
Solidarity.
I hope he appreciates this.
Let's get to today's headlines. Headbands on.
That's right. BYU's Richie Saunders and Dallin Hall both announcing on social media that they are withdrawing from the transfer portal and returning to BYU. Hall averaged 9 points, 5 assists, and 3.5 rebounds per game last season. As for Saunders, he averaged just shy of 10 points, 4 rebounds as well for the Cougars off the bench. Huge 12 hours for new BYU head coach Kevin Young. What a job.
Think about what's happened in the last 2 weeks, Jason.
We have crammed about 6 months worth of news in a week.
After no BYU players were selected in the first round of the NFL draft last night, not a shocker, BYU's draft hopefuls, led by Kingsley Suamataia, will hope to have their names called tonight. Suamataia is currently third among offensive tackles available, 42nd overall in terms of best available on Mel Kiper's big board. Keaton Slovis, now the third best available quarterback on Kiper's big board at his position, after 6 QBs were selected last night.
BYU softball dropped games 1 and 2 against Baylor last night at home to fall to 26-21 overall, 8-15 in the Big 12. BYU held a late lead in both games, but were not able to pull it out. Game 3, scheduled to be played tonight, weather permitting, 8 p.m. Eastern time on Big 12 Now on ESPN+.
They need 10 regular season wins to be bubblicious, Jason. BYU baseball dropped game 1 of their series at 19th ranked Oklahoma State yesterday, 17-5 in Stillwater. With that loss, BYU drops to 16-22 overall. They're 6-16 in Big 12 play. The Bat-Cats now lost 7 straight Big 12 contests. Games 2 and 3 played in a doubleheader today, beginning at 3 Eastern, live on BYU Radio.
Coach Amber Whiting announcing the signing of transfer guard Mariah Hudgens to the women's basketball team. Hudgens comes to BYU after playing her first 2 seasons at Santa Clara, where she averaged 7.6 points and 5 rebounds per game this past 2 seasons. By the way, shot 33% from 3. Coach Whiting talked about liking not only what she can do on offense, but on the defensive end as well.
That helps losing Kaylee Wilson to a mission with that 3-point shooting. BYU track and field competing in day 1 of the Robinson Invitational yesterday. The men's and women's teams combining to win 6 events. That Invitational will run through the weekend. No pun intended.
New BYU men's head coach Kevin Young and the Phoenix Suns will be hosting the Minnesota Timberwolves tonight in the NBA playoffs. It's game 3 of the first round series. The Suns currently trail the T-Wolves 0-2.
Join us tomorrow morning from noon to 1 Eastern, so morning time if you're on the Pacific Coast, the Mountain Time Zone, for the Dallas Fan Fest at the Josie Ranch Athletic Complex in Carrollton, Texas, where Jeremy and I will be joined by several BYU football players and coaches live on BYU TV and BYU Radio. Those are today's headlines. Now we whip it. Cougar Whip Round presented by Marist, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
All right, BYU football signed a transfer quarterback from the portal yesterday. Their first notable signing during this transfer portal cycle. We can't mention his name yet due to compliance reasons, but what does signing another quarterback tell you about the current state of the quarterback position?
That it is a wide open competition, Jason. It's not just a two-man race. I don't think it's just Jake Retzlaff or Gary Bohannon. I think Aaron Roderick is like, okay, whoever can take care of the ball and produce in fall camp, it's open to anybody. I mean, McKay Hillstead, shouldn't have said his name, but I did. Sorry, strike it from the record. Strike it from the record.
There's a dumb button here somewhere.
Whoop. Mute. He played in 3 games last year, or maybe as many as 4, with his previous team. this is a guy that's got experience. Like, BYU is full on in competition.
Oh, I think the headband may be a little too tight.
cut off the blood flow to the brain a little bit.
Oh boy. All right, you take the next one, Spencer.
Yeah. What? Are you sure you want me to do that?
Just Ron Burgundy, this bad boy.
Both the Broncos and Vikings selected quarterbacks in the first round of the draft last night. What does that mean for the future for Zach Wilson in Denver and Jaren Hall in Minnesota?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, look, if they liked for Zach specifically. They bring him in, and you kind of think maybe he gets the start early.
I still think he's, like, the guy that's most likely to start.
Yeah, I think so. Long term, they brought in Bo Nix to be their long-term starter, you would think. As for you know, Jaren Hall, I'm curious to see how this plays out. Obviously, they've got Sam Darnold right now, who will be the starter, and then J.J. McCarthy. You know, I think right now, at best, Jaren Hall's third. Maybe he gets another opportunity with another team. We'll have to see.
Jaren Hall or Nick Mullins is probably going to be dealt somewhere else. That's what that draft pick last night of J.J. McCarthy told me from the Vikings, is that one of those two, Jaren Hall or Nick Mullins, is going to be traded somewhere else.
Either would welcome the opportunity to go somewhere else, a less crowded quarterback.
They're not going to keep four in that quarterback's room. But I think Zach Wilson's going to be the starter in Denver in week one.
It makes them, of the options between Stidham and DiNucci, I'm starting Zach Wilson, yeah.
Now we just need to figure out a starting quarterback for BYU.
One thing at a time, Spencer. BYU baseball is at number 19, Oklahoma State. They will play a doubleheader today starting at 3 Eastern time on BYU Radio.
After the break, we'll react to more Dallin Hall and Richie Saunders news returning to BYU in gift form. This is BYUSN. His headband really tight.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B alongside headband Jason Shepherd. I am headband Spencer Linton. Our question of the day in GIF form. Describe how you are feeling with the announcement that Dallin Hall and Richie Saunders are returning to BYU. I love the GIFs coming in. Oh, Jason, this is so good. At Mr. _ Flintstone 94, he says, I want you to get the word out there. So this, that we back up. And not only, it's a great actor too.
It's Idris.
This is Idris Elba.
He's fantastic.
He's a great actor.
Yes.
By the way, you need to call your shot on Kingsley. Where do you think he's going tonight?
Well, look, I know he would want to go higher in the second round, but I'm hoping he lasts to the last pick of the second round.
Chiefs?
To my Kansas City Chiefs. Look, there was a lot of talk about them taking him at 32.
I know.
Now, we obviously moved up to take Xavier Worthy, who I love, and that's the guy I wanted.
Oh, man.
But, yeah, no, I think the Titans are somebody to pay attention to. I think the Ravens are somebody to pay attention to. And certainly, I would not expect him to get past the Chiefs at 64.
Calling my shot. Number 53 to the Philadelphia Eagles.
Okay.
Number 53 to the Eagles. And if he doesn't go to the Eagles, I think the 49ers, the pick right before the Chiefs, are a fascinating landing spot for him as well.
Look,
Eagles or 49ers for me.
It is a position that there's such a high need for capable left tackles. And so
Kingsley might be a guard too.
Well, yes, and that's the other part about it. And that's why the Chiefs, I think, love him so much, is because Andy, if you're going to be an offensive lineman in Andy's system, you got to play multiple positions. So I think he won't last past the Chiefs in the second round.
There you go. All right, in gift form, keep him coming in. Describe how you're feeling with the announcements from Dallin Hall and Richie Saunders that they're returning to BYU. This is BYU Sports Nation. Go compliance.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
BYUSN, our updated question of the day in GIF form. Describe how you're feeling with the announcement that Dallin Hall and Richie Saunders are both returning to BYU basketball. Our elite voice of the day presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated, an elite GIF, and it's standing in a hurricane and waving that BYU flag.
That may be live right outside right now.
Today's Rising shout-out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
How about we give it to Richie and Dallin, and how about Coach Young as well?
Yes.
Yes.
Everybody involved. Royal Blue Collective. Let's go. Our thanks to today's guest, in spite of his insults, Dennis Pitta.
Conversation continues 24/7 on X, Instagram, and Facebook.
For Jason, I'm Spencer. We'll see you tomorrow for the Fan Fest in Dallas at noon Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio. Go Cougs!
Go Cougs! Back!